Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Mike Remmers could have the biggest chip on his shoulder of anyone that's ever played in a Super Bowl. Remmers played in Super Bowl 50 and had a bad day against Von Miller. Remmers has been in the league 7 years and has played against Jason Pierre-Paul of the Bucks. Now Paul says he doesn't even know who Mike Remmers is. And he asked, is he a tackle or something? Well, as we all know, Remmers takes over at left tackle for Eric Fisher, and pretty much everyone in the world thinks a disaster is waiting to happen. Not only will Remmers have a big chip on his shoulder, so will the entire offensive line. Mahomes versus Brady. Do you believe in numbers, or do you just believe Tom Brady is magic and a force to be reckoned with? I mean, how concerned would you be if this was Kirk Cousins playing for Tampa this week? Yeah, because Kirk Cousins had a better year than Tom Brady. This quarterback matchup really isn't that close. KU and K-State are set to play in a game nobody's excited about. Kansas has lost 4 out of 5. K-State is 4-23 in the Big 12 since winning the league 2 years ago. But I've got a prediction about this particular game that nobody else has, and I think it may surprise you. In D.C., Kamala Harris is running around behind a Democrat senator's back, trying to sway his state's opinions toward the $1.9 million stimulus. This is a really nasty story. And how can LeBron James refer to a fan as courtside Karen and get away with it? Karen is a slang term for white women who complain a lot. What if we had a special name for black women? God, I'm sick of this stuff. It's all brought to you by Buck Roofing and Construction, online at rbuckroofing.com. Seriously, this spring is going to be a really good time to get your roof inspected and get a game plan for where when you may need to repair it or replace it. And Ron's totally a straight shooter and will let you know which is the best course of action. I'd give him a call and get that free inspection lined up at some point this spring. 913-384-2680. That's 384-2680. They just do great work. They do commercial buildings. He's done the Midland Theater, restaurants on the plaza. All my friends' houses have roofs that Ron Buck has done. This is a great local company that you can really, really trust. Ron's a really good guy. And they're not tied to one manufacturer of product either, so they can fit your budget if that's something you're looking for. Online at rbuckroofing.com, 384-2680. Sleep well, knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs makes it easy. Wow, they delivered a Sierra Denali to me, and I really drove it a bunch yesterday afternoon. This is some truck now. I mean, this is really, really some truck. I love the tailgate and how functional it is. It's that multifunction tailgate that you can set up at your tailgate party. It has speakers in it. It plays music. You can use it as a table, not just as a regular tailgate that folds down, but it has a function that's more like a bar top table. It's really cool. This truck is so well thought out in so many ways. I'm still learning all of it. I sales rep came over and showed me how everything works, and so I got the tutorial. I can't believe the things that they've thought of in this thing. It's really quite a remarkable truck. I think you're going to like it if you test drive one. If you are a truck guy and you've never gotten in the GMC Sierra, go check them out at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC. It's something else. They really do make it easy there. And if you live a little ways away from Excelsior Spring, big deal. Get online, robertsrobinson.com. You can see all the inventory right there. Or they'll locate anything that you're exactly looking for. It could be in Omaha or St. Louis. They'll bring it in for you. They'll get it all ready, clean it up, and they'll bring it to your home. You don't even have to go to the dealership. It will cost you less at Roberts Robinson. They're not a big city dealer. It will just flat cost you less. And Mike promised me, and I'm promising you, that if you do business with Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC, you will never, ever have anyone in that industry treat you better than they do. That's the promise. And I believe it. I 100% believe it. So find out for yourself why people, no matter where they live in the Kansas City area, are shopping at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC. GMC, we are professional grade. And Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com. We are 2 weeks away from Valentine's Day. Guys, that's all you got to know. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Oh my, does Mike Remmers have a chip on his shoulder this week? KKHI is on. Hit it!
Fry Orthodontics presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Your smile is just the start. Online at fryorthodontics.com.
Well, the opening day of media coverage at Super Bowl 55, we got enough stuff, we got enough material, enough storylines, probably to last the entire week. We're going to address them all here at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. And we will start with the best bulletin board material ever and motivation for a player. If this were just a bigger named player, this would be so much bigger a story, but it's not. There's a great kind of subplot to this entire story, but we love the fact that Jason Pierre-Paul of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers has now basically called out Mike Remmers, who will play left tackle for the Chiefs in Super Bowl 55 on Sunday, by saying, "I didn't even know who that was. I'm not going to lie. Is this a tackle you're talking about?" When he was asked questions by reporters about Mike Remmers, the left tackle who's taking over for Eric Fisher. So this is just tremendous bulletin board material for Remmers and motivation and the entire Chiefs offensive line. This can only do good. This really can only do good. And look, Tampa's front and their pass rush is very good. Not just Jason Pierre-Paul, but Shaq Barrett's going to be a problem for Remmers as well on that side. He's going to have to deal with him. But we're not talking about some player here that just fell off the turnip truck. Mike Remmers is not Eric Fisher. But there's a lot of great photos out there of Jason Pierre-Paul being blocked by Mike Remmers. They've played against each other. Remmers was with Carolina Panthers. Jason Pierre-Paul was with the Giants. And there's some great photos of Remmers blocking Jason Pierre-Paul, and he doesn't ever remember playing against him. Well, that's not that unusual in the NFL. You don't, as a defensive player, you don't memorize everyone on the offensive front. They call a set, they call a scheme, they tell you what your assignment is on the play, and it doesn't matter whether it's Eric Fisher or Mike Remmers. Now, assignments can be different than that. If you're a corner, some teams will play a corner straight up on a certain receiver and say, wherever he goes, you go. They don't do that as much as they used to. Some will do that. There's different coverages. Tyrann Mathieu could be told, hey, you got to shade the side of the field wherever Antonio Brown goes. That's where you're gonna be shaded to that side of the field. There's a lot of different assignments like that, but generally not in pass rushing situations. Most, not all. J.J. Watt's an exception. The Chiefs do a little bit of stunting at the snap, but a lot of teams don't really move their personnel around. You've got your position. You're lined up. It's a passing situation. You're going to be rushing the quarterback, and there's Mike Remmers, and that's what we're talking about here. We're not worried about the run game, right? We're sort of ignoring whether or not the Chiefs can run the football in this game or not. I think we're all going to say it's sort of a given that the Chiefs won't be great running the ball. If they do, it's going to have to be very creative. It's going to be Tyreek Hill on an end around. It will be, you know, I've always felt like shovel passes, screen passes, things like that are part of the running game, and I think the Chiefs will try to do that effectively in this game, and effectively creating yards on plays where the ball is given to a skill position player behind the line of scrimmage. To me, that's just an extension of your run game. There's a run game, there's a game at the line of scrimmage, and there's a game downfield. And Patrick Mahomes is great at getting the ball downfield. That's what he's really, really great at. So will he have enough time to do that with Mike Remmers playing left tackle? Jason Pierre-Paul has been asked about this. He says, "I don't know who that is. I'm not going to lie. Is that a tackle you're talking about? I don't know," but they've played against each other. Remmers has been in the league since 2013. He's played in 92 games. This is not some kid. He is probably best remembered, and this is the negative on it all, for playing for Carolina in Super Bowl 50 and giving up 3 sacks to Von Miller in that game, including a strip sack that turned the game. So while he struggled in that game as a younger player, he has carved out a nice career. He makes over $1 million a year. He's basically a sixth wheel or so on the offensive line. He's not a guy you sign and pay $1.1 million to and say, there's my rock at right guard or whatever. He's a good NFL caliber player. And this is the biggest assignment of his life. And Andy Reid knows the offensive line, and he's going to help Mike Remmers in this game. He'll keep a running back in there if he has to on some downfield passes. And he'll get some help. They'll find a way. They will find a way. I don't think you're going to see Patrick Mahomes just drop back to pass or be back to pass and just get slaughtered all day and sacked every single time. I don't think that's it. In 13 games this year, Mike Remmers has 1 holding call and 2 false starts. So he's played, and he's played quite a bit in 13 games, and he's a veteran player. So there's probably too much being made of this, but I can't imagine what it would be like to be in the league since 2013. And he didn't play much in 13 and 14. He really started to play for the Panthers in 15, wound up in a Super Bowl. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in the league for 7 years. You're going to the Super Bowl. You're a veteran player. You know the ins and outs. Nothing's new to you. You've even played in a Super Bowl. You've done this before. and being called out by somebody who's playing against you saying they don't know who you are. That's pretty strong. That's quite a motivating factor. And it is not just, look, we all ask, why would you need motivation? It's the Super Bowl. The short answer is you don't. Everybody's motivated. But there is something about playing with a chip on your shoulder. If you guys remember the Buffalo game in the regular season this year, and I think that's when Nick Allegretti kind of broke out. And we're like, whoa, look at this young guy. He's really playing with an attitude. That was the week that Andy Reid challenged his team to run the football and be more physical. The Chiefs were winning games, but they looked soft. You know, they looked like a finesse team early in the season. And you're going to Buffalo, and he knew all week long the weather was going to be crap. The game got moved around, right, for COVID. They wound up playing on, was it a Monday or a Tuesday afternoon? It was really weird. But, you know, the thing got moved because of COVID. It was supposed to be a Thursday night game, right? It got moved, and it got moved. And when we watched the Chiefs play that day, we're like, wow, this is different. They played with a physical nature, a chip on their shoulder, a mentality that we hadn't previously seen. A lot of that was the offensive line, just lining up and hitting the Bills, and the Chiefs really ran the football well that day. Now, that's not to say that 16 times the Chiefs played in the regular season and a couple in the postseason, that they didn't bring it, that they didn't come to play, that they didn't want to play hard, but there was something extra that day, and you could see it. You could see these things a lot of times. You can see it. And so that's what I'm looking for out of this group of offensive linemen. It will not just be Mike Remmers. Everyone else on that offensive line is offended this week. Completely and utterly offended, and the Bucs don't seem to care. They'll say whatever they want. They seem more than happy to continue the media narrative that this is a complete and utter mismatch. Well, here's the deal. I guess it could be as bad as everyone's saying, and if it is, so what? Find a way around it. Have Mahomes do his thing. Find a way around it. If it's that bad, figure something out, adjust, and make it to where it's tolerable, and you can do it. The good news is, it can't possibly be the single defining factor of this game, unless it just straight leads to turnovers. Patrick Mahomes fumbles the ball once and throws two interceptions because the pressure is just too much. Yes, there, they did it. They did it, and that was the factor in the game. But do you really see that happening out of Mahomes? Even with a huge pass rush. You can always eat the ball and punt it. I don't think the Bucs are some huge threat to run away and hide offensively. They're a good offensive football team. There's no question. The Bucs are a good offensive football team. But, you know, this is the other component to this thing. Patrick Mahomes was third in the league in quarterback rating, 108.2. Yeah, take this for what it's worth, okay? So I'm going to toss a couple numbers at you here. And the question is, do numbers really matter? Because we're ignoring the numbers this week. And I love these computer services. The computer says this, the computer says that. No, the computers are wrong. The Chiefs have won 25 out of 26 football games. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. We know that Aaron Rodgers had the best regular season. We know that. It wasn't close. His quarterback rating was way higher. Deshaun Watson and Mahomes were basically about the same. I'm not a giant fan of Deshaun Watson. I don't see him win football games. Do you? I don't. I see him rack up incredible stats for a football team that's behind a lot, desperate in the second half. If you're down 14, getting that touchdown is pretty easy. Getting another 80 or 90 yards passing and a touchdown is pretty easy when you're down 14 or 17 points. And they were in that position a lot this year. So I don't respect that much. So I'm not saying I'm a numbers guy. What I'm asking is, do you believe in some of these numbers? Or do you ignore them because it's Tom Brady? Tom Brady was the ninth best passer in the league this year, just behind Kirk Cousins and just ahead of Lamar Jackson. So think about it. Let that sink in for a second. Tom Brady was just behind Kirk Cousins and just ahead of Lamar Jackson. And this is the passing threat that everybody's worried about. Nobody has thrown more interceptions in the NFL this year than Tom Brady. Now, that's counting the postseason. He had three in the title game against Green Bay a couple weeks ago. He had 12 in the regular season. That means he now officially has more than Drew Lock and Carson Wentz, who each threw 15. Tom Brady has thrown more interceptions than any quarterback on the planet this year. That's a fact. His quarterback rating is right behind Kirk Cousins, and it's right ahead of Lamar Jackson. And the buildup to this is, well, it's Brady. You got to beat Brady. Well, the Chiefs have done that. They've done that fairly effectively. They intercepted Tom Brady 2 years ago in the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium to win the game and go to the Super Bowl, except Dee Ford's hand was in the neutral zone. Brady throws picks at this point in his career. It's what he does. If you tell me Tom Brady is not going to turn the ball over Sunday, the Chiefs are in for a war. I won't tell you that they can't win. I'm going to tell you it'll be a heck of a game. It'll be really something else. I'm going to predict he throws at least two because I think the Chiefs are going to have the lead, and I think they'll probably get one in the second half during desperation time. I saw a lot of desperation in Tampa's offense when they played against Green Bay. There were just a lot of passes that were sort of forced downfield, not really Hail Marys. I mean, you're taking the shot, but I think the Chiefs' secondary will play better. I think they'll be better at deflecting those balls away. It's not going to be about he throws a lot of high arcing deep passes downfield, and against Green Bay, at least two of those, probably 90 yards total of passing yards, were kind of jump balls, and they were bobbled balls, and the receiver got them as they came down. And I think there may be a bit of a difference here, and I don't know if Andy Reid's coaching this way because you don't ever want to take any aggressiveness away from a player trying to make a play. But the reason they throw those passes like that 50 yards downfield is even if Tyrann Mathieu comes over and picks it off, he's going to get tackled right there, and it's essentially a punt. It's not a meaningful turnover. It's just a turnover in the books. It's not a meaningful one. If you're throwing from your own 30 and you throw it down to the 20-yard line and Mathieu picks it off but gets tackled while he's catching it, that's as good as a punt. So those aren't the big meaningful turnovers. I think it would be important, personally, me, to tell the secondary of the Chiefs this week, when it's downfield, when it's deep like that, unless you've got a sure beat on that ball, just punch it. Make sure you're punching that ball. Get that thing out of there. Don't let the receiver catch it. Incomplete's great. But they did get a couple of lucky balls downfield where the receiver literally, the ball was being tipped, was up in the air, grabbed it on the way down, held on to it, and completed the pass. That's awesome. If that's their game plan, I welcome that game plan. You know, I don't know who among us wouldn't welcome the Bucs saying, we'll just take some shots downfield and see what happens. Okay, let's try that. It's not like their guys were running free. Scotty Miller got open right before the half. That was the worst play of that entire game for Green Bay. It was right before the half. I mean, they just got duped. The Chiefs also have Steve Spagnuolo, who dialed up a brilliant game plan against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl when he was with the Giants and beat him and basically negated Brady and was very famous because players talked about it afterwards. This was right when all the concussion protocol stuff was starting. Like, be careful, player safety, this, that. And Spagnuolo said, I don't care if we sack him a whole bunch. We got to hit him over and over and over. Hit him. And this is how football used to be played. Gunther Cunningham was like that. And Marty Schottenheimer was like that. Bill Cowher was like that. All these great defensive coaches that were in Kansas City way back in the day were all of the same ilk. By the time the fourth quarter rolls around, we want that quarterback to be so uncomfortable, so tired of getting hit, so skittish back there in the pocket because here they come, I'm going to get hit again, that it alters the way he plays the game. Here's another fact that we know that works in the Chiefs' favor. 43-year-old quarterbacks are even more skittish in the pocket than rookies. Rookies will stand in there at age 23 and get pounded to prove their toughness. At 43, you're thinking about a beach with your supermodel wife in Brazil. And you don't like getting hit. So what Tom Brady does is he gets rid of it. He throws it. And when he does it, he's thrown more interceptions this year than anyone on the planet. Nobody's talking about that this week, Tom Brady. He's the interceptor. That's what he does at this point in his career. He takes chances. We always talk about gunslingers. Brady doesn't look like a gunslinger because he's not moving around and throwing sidearm and all this other stuff. Tom Brady's gunslinger. He tries to force everything now. He forces stuff right and left, and the Chiefs can capitalize that on that. And this quarterback comparison isn't close. So do you believe in the numbers? Are you a numbers person? Because if you look at the numbers, this game shouldn't be that close. The numbers say this, the important numbers, the really important numbers. The two really important numbers. Do you win? Well, yeah, the Chiefs have won 25 out of 26, and they won the Super Bowl last year. They got the Bucs beat there. And what about your quarterback? Well, the numbers say this isn't close. The numbers say Patrick Mahomes is way better than Tom Brady. Even our eyes can tell us that. What we can't do is take a key and turn off in our brain watching Tom Brady win six Super Bowls. Again, I shared with you earlier this week that he has not been great in those Super Bowls. He's been great in a couple of them, but largely hasn't been great. His offense averages 23 points a game in the Super Bowl. I will give Tampa 23 right now. They can have their 23 in this game. Got done. Brady, go do your average Super Bowl thing, put your 23 on the board, and watch what happens. The Chiefs are going to win 38-23, and we're going to throw a parade. In Cass County, apparently, or somewhere, a drive-in movie theater, I don't know where, Arrowhead. So it really becomes a matter of, do you like the numbers, or can you just not get out of your head that it's Brady? I still don't really understand the gambling line. It's down to 3. Again, the Chiefs, the computer says the Chiefs have a 52% chance of winning. What team that's won 25 out of 26 has a 52% chance of winning? Imagine this is Alabama playing Oklahoma for the national title. Imagine that's what it is. Oklahoma had 2 or 3 losses this year. They lost to K-State again. They did that. They did this. They did that. They never, you know, got all this. Imagine that, and it's Alabama. Alabama's won 25 its last 26 games. They won the championship last year. Imagine if that's what it was. What would the computer say on that? 84% Alabama? Yeah, what would the line be? 10.5? 13? I don't know. I mean, just make up your numbers. I don't know, so I don't understand this. I don't get it. And I'm no homer here, folks. It doesn't matter who these teams were. This could be, if the Raiders had Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and whatever, and they were playing the Bucs, I'd be saying the same thing. We know the AFC is better than the NFC. And I think it was proven out that the NFC was weak in the playoffs because Tampa is here. I think that proved it out. I think the strength of the AFC kind of shined. Buffalo won their home games. The Chiefs won their home games. You're just not going to beat those teams. They were good this year. Those teams were good. Those teams were very good. And there are more good teams in the AFC. So, I just think it's a great question to ask. Maybe I'm trying to hype you up for the game. I don't know. I think you'll take it either way. I just think it's important to know that Tom Brady was the 9th best passer in the league this year, which isn't awful. But, folks, there's 15 teams in this league with totally crappy quarterbacks that don't play all year, that they switch them around. They're like, you're out, you're in. So there really are only about 15 quarterbacks to rank. Out of 15 to rank, Tom Brady was 9th. Behind Kirk Cousins and just ahead of Lamar Jackson. That's not total yards. That's not Lamar Jackson running. That's Lamar Jackson passing the football. He is between Kirk Cousins and Lamar Jackson. And we got our panties in a wad this week. Oh, God, it's the greatest of all time. It's Tom Brady, who the Chiefs have beaten, who we saw in the AFC Championship game. And to go down to win the football game, he threw the interception to lose it. In overtime, I don't know if you remember how they won. They just ran the ball on the Chiefs. He didn't do anything. They won the coin toss, and they lined up, got physical, and ran that ball on the Chiefs. And the Chiefs never got the ball back. And everybody felt ripped off because, of course, we were ripped off. I like this matchup, man. I like the matchup. I am a little concerned that they could be all over Patrick Mahomes with a pass rush. But I think you've got 2 weeks to coach around that. You know you have offensive line problems. This is why Andy Reid makes the money he makes. It's simple like that. So until the playoffs, only Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, and Drew Locke had thrown more interceptions than Tom Brady this year. So I like that stat, and I like it a lot. On the injury report, we have 2 players going into COVID protocol, DeMarcus Robinson, the wide receiver, and center Daniel Kilgore. They'll both be back for the game if they do not test positive this week. They get the 5-day isolation. They were exposed to their barber who had COVID. Or, I'm sorry, they were exposed to their barber who was exposed to COVID. I'm not sure anybody has COVID at this point. The barber was wearing a mask. Robinson and Kilgore were wearing masks. I don't know. It's not clear to me whether this is the Chiefs' barber that they bring to Arrowhead or whether Robinson and Kilgore went out on their own to their own barber shop and did this. I'm not sure. The players have been strongly advised to not go to their regular barber shop. Chiefs have brought in their own barbers. I can't even put into words like, okay, my hair, I go without cutting it for a while and I've got clippers at home and I'll do my own. I'm just at a point in my life where my hairstyle, it's not the most important thing in my life, right? Some mornings I roll out of bed and it looks like I have wings. It looks at, you know, bedhead. So my wife even commented on that this morning she said, wow, you look like you got arrows sticking out of your head or horns or something. Those aren't even wings. That's horns, the way your hair is sticking out. I'm like, okay, I'll figure it out. Maybe I'll go to the stylist sometime this week and get it taken care of. Well, we'll see. For For football players, it's everything. It's every week. It is everything. My hairstyle is everything. Even the ones that look like they don't care because it's long and it's unkept, it's a style. They're doing something. It is a big thing. It is a big deal. So the Chiefs have their own barbers, and they bring them in, and they test them for COVID before they can come cut the players' hairs. And they said, look, don't go to your own barbers. We'll bring the guys in. Here they are. So I don't know whether Robinson and Kilgore got it that way or whether they went to their own place. If they don't get COVID this week, they're both going to be eligible to play. They just won't be able to practice until this weekend. So I'm not too worried about that. The better news is Sammy Watkins is practicing. Sammy Watkins had some big games in the postseason last year, seemed to be a big-game player. And when you play opponents that are better and have more time to prepare and they try to find a way to limit Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, that opens up Sammy Watkins. That's why Byron Pringle could be such an important player for Kansas City next year. If having to fill that spot to be maybe the third guy, that you just can't cover them all. If Sammy Watkins is back at full strength, man, the Chiefs are loaded for bear here. Legarius Sneed has completed the protocol. We love this young cornerback. That's outstanding. And Tyreek Hill handled it like a pro in front of the media at Media Day yesterday when he was asked about Scotty Miller, the wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Bucks, who put some fun material. This is not bulletin board at all, just fun stuff up on the Dan Patrick Show last week where Scotty Miller said, I'm faster than Tyreek Hill. And all race him. And Tyreek Hill was asked about this yesterday. He said, you know what? That's a great answer by Scotty Miller. I think anyone that's asked, are you faster than Tyreek Hill, should say yes. And if you ask me if I'm faster than any of them, I'm going to say yes. And if you don't have that attitude, you don't have the right attitude about what you do for a living. I thought it was a great answer. Then he joked, you know what, maybe we'll find out. Maybe we should just race at halftime. That would be fun. And I'm not talking about a race. You know, if something like this ever happened, which it won't, Josh Allen has challenged Patrick Mahomes to see who can throw the football the farthest. It's not going to happen. It's not good. You shouldn't be doing it. But if they did, if Scotty Miller and Tyreek Hill ever did race, I mean, it has to be in full football uniform. That's all that matters. Not a track shorts, you know, on a track with starter blocks. It would have to be, we're starting on the goal line, okay, and we're running to the 50. Let's go. But you got to have your full gear on, helmet and everything. Let's see who's faster because there's speed and there's game speed. Let's be honest. Totally different thing, but Scotty Miller can scoot now. He can fly. And he knows it. So a lot of subplots, a lot of storylines, a lot of things going on around Super Bowl 55. And it just makes it so fun when these storylines come out. Really, really fun stuff. The weather looks great for Sunday. Looks like it's going to be about 70 degrees and sunny in Tampa. It is a night game. It'll be completely under the lights. There'll be no daylight at all. So a night game in Tampa. And if you recall, Tampa is hosting the Super Bowl because Los Angeles didn't get the Rams and Chargers new stadium done on time. And then, of course, it's California, so it's worked out great. Because you wouldn't want to have this thing in California right now anyway. I mean, there may have been talks of moving it over the past few months just because of California's ridiculous lockdowns. So Tampa stepped up to the rescue and jumped in, but they've done this before. That's why, if you're wondering, the Super Bowl's in the state of Florida 2 years in a row. It's actually lucky. It's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. I know Tampa gets to stadium, but yeah, I've no problem with this. The Chiefs have familiarity. They played there this year. There's not that much of an advantage. It's not like, you know, rims at basketball or sight lines in a field house, things like that. Should be pretty straightforward, and there's not enough fans there to make a huge difference. I don't think the Chiefs are going to have a bunch of false starts because of crowd noise. I think there was some worry about that. I do not think that's going to happen. It's very excited for the game. Not quite as excited for the basketball game Tuesday night at Allen Fieldhouse, K-State at KU. This is dreadful. I mean, Kansas has now lost 4 out of 5, and K-State, well, it's worse than that. K-State is 4-23 in its last 27 conference games. These two teams were champions very recently of the league. And right now, neither one looks like they're even close to that. Kansas is an 18-point favorite in this game. And, you know, there is no such thing as a gambling line that is a lock. You know, we all think that going in, but just too many things happen in sports. We know. Like, the Chiefs were a mortal lock against the Browns a few weeks ago until Patrick Mahomes left the game. I mean, they were crushing that team up and down the field. That game was so over and on cruise control. And then Mahomes goes out and it changes everything. So no game is ever like that, all right? But and as bad as K-State is, and this is really hard for me to say, because K-State's awful. I mean, they're really, really, really bad. historically bad. I don't know how they got there, but they are. Can Kansas really beat somebody by 19? I think that's the bigger question. Can Kansas beat another conference team by 19 points? Right now. We've watched them lose 4 out of 5. Are they capable of a 20-point win? Just air with bombs away. You're no good. We're going to kill you. It can happen. We've seen games earlier this year where Brown and Abaji go out and just start banging three-pointers and shoot. I think one game they shot 60-some percent from three combined. If they do that tonight, they're going to win by 20. But they haven't been doing that. And other than an exceptional three-point shooting night for Kansas tonight, which is entirely possible against K-State, entirely possible. Other than that, could they win by 20? I think it's going to be hard. I may be wrong. They may win by 40. And this really isn't a statement about K-State. K-State is no good, right? They are no good. They're really, really bad. But Kansas has lost 4 out of 5. You can't come in with a great deal of confidence. You know you're playing a crappy team. That's got to help. But it's not like your confidence is off the charts. If it weren't Bill Self and Kansas, would we be asking at this point, is Bill Self losing his team? Most teams, we'd be asking that question. I'm not really ready to ask it yet. I just want to point out that we would be asking that if this wasn't Bill Self. And I think that's fair. I think he's earned that. I absolutely think he's earned that. Of course, the flip side is Kansas State and the mess that they're in. And the AD at K-State, Gene Taylor, has given his vote of confidence to Bruce Weber. So here's my bold Kevin Keatsman has issues prediction. It's my bold prediction. This is the last time that Bill Self and Bruce Weber will coach against each other at Allen Fieldhouse. There it is. That means one of them's not back next year. That's my bold prediction. And it could be both, but it may be neither. They may both be back, and then I'll just be wrong. So there's my headline for this game tonight. This is the last time Bruce Weber and Bill Self face each other in Allen Fieldhouse. And Weber's been a foil for Kansas. Kansas fans do not like him at all. They make fun of his voice, which is kind of mean, but whatever. They make fun of him. They don't like him. They never liked him. The Illinois thing went way back where he had the funeral for Bill Self when he took over as the coach there, all the things he's done. But also, Bruce Weber's won the Big 12 twice. Kansas fans know that. They didn't like losing some games to this guy, and they didn't like K-State winning the Big 12. It was a little Missouri-esque, you know, and what KU fans really hated most of my lifetime was Mizzou. That was the thing. They hated Mizzou. I hate Mizzou. Because K-State had gone on this 25-year period where they just weren't very good, and they were no challenge. Roy Williams was just whipping them every year, and there was no competition, and with no competition dies a rivalry. Well, Missouri would still rise up. Missouri could be the sixth best team in the league and beat Kansas. Missouri would send Anthony Peeler to Allen Fieldhouse and he'd score 44 points. You know, it was cool. It was fun. Sometimes the records didn't matter. The games were epic. And it's not that Missouri didn't have some good teams, because they did. And they won the league and they made runs in the tournament and they were an excellent program. So that developed that rivalry. And I think some of that has existed with Bruce Weber, because I get asked so many times by people, and my comeback to him is always, I don't say, are you a KU fan? I say, who's your team? Because I know the answer is KU. Because they will come up and start asking me about Bruce Weber or K-State basketball. And I'll be like, what? And look, if they're a K-State fan and they walk up, and I got a couple phone calls yesterday from guys I haven't talked to in months. And the question was, what is K-State going to do with Bruce Weber? Are they going to fire him? That's a different deal. If somebody walked up to me in a grocery store or the bar and said, man, what are we going to do with Bruce Weber? Are they going to fire him? Then I know he's like a K-State fan, and you can tell. When people just engage you in conversation and go, oh, how about that 4-day state loss? Man, I'm like, oh, really? Who's your team? Oh, Kansas, of course. And then you know when Kansas fans are paying more attention to K-State losing than K-State fans are, you know that coach got under their skin a little bit. So I would say this. The strongest case for keeping Bruce Weber is he's won 2 conference titles, and KU fans don't like him. To me, that'd be a great reason to keep him. It isn't the football program. K-State fans care way more about football than basketball. That would be a great reason. And I'm not saying keep him. I'm going to wait till the end of the year and decide. If I see some improvement here down the stretch, this team's got a month left to play. If they play tonight competitively against Kansas like TCU did last week, TCU isn't very good, but They took Kansas to the last 2 minutes of the game. They played hard. They played smart. They kept it low scoring. If Weber can find a way to coach this thing down into the mud and keep it in the 50s or low 60s, the game could stay within 10 points, and you'd always feel like maybe you have a shot if you hit a couple threes. If they do that tonight, to me, that's progress. I think they got to do it. And that's why I ask, can Kansas beat anybody by 20? Because I don't know that they can. Maybe they can. Maybe they will. But, man, not a lot of buildup for this Sunflower Showdown tonight. But I will go ahead and predict this is the last time Bill Self and Bruce Weber face each other at Allen Fieldhouse. Kevin Kietzman Has Issues is brought to you by Back 9 Development. Solheim Condominiums at Grand Mere. Gorgeous upscale condos on the Colbert Hills Golf Course. Perfect for college kids, investment property, or second home. If you love to go for football weekends to Manhattan, 7 home games this year. These condos will be ready by September. If you'd like to reserve your spot for more information, and this is not a full commitment, this doesn't sign you up, you have to buy it. You can call TJ and say, I want more information, I want to get on the list. I want to consider this investment property. 785-236-0161. That's 236-0161. These condos start at $249, and they have luxurious, high-quality amenities, including a resort-style pool, a clubhouse, elevators, covered parking. It's all unique to Grand Mere. TJ at Back 9 is ready to take your call if you'd like to commit to one of these condos. The first building is expected to be move-in ready prior to kickoff of K-State's first football game in September. Online at back9development.com. That's back, the numeral 9, development.com. They also do commercial developments and custom home building. Go check out the website and look at some of the custom homes that TJ has built at Back 9 Development. It's gorgeous. Back9development.com, proud sponsor of Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. Bstock.net in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. It's an outlet store. Bstock.net's an online store. That's what they are. They sell everything electronics cheaper. Just costs you less than Best Buy or Nebraska Furniture Mart. It isn't close. When you hear those others talking about price, they're wrong. Bstock.net's been online for decades doing this now. Now they've opened an outlet store in Kansas City. They're using the facility basically as their warehouse for their online store. And as such, they built a storefront and said, we can sell these for even less if people come get them. Ridiculous savings on unbelievable products. Every Samsung TV made is there. If you're looking for a TV for the big game this week, go for it. How about a Samsung 85-inch 60T Samsung 4K UHD? $17.99 with free delivery because it's a big one. Free delivery, $17.99. It's $24.99 at Best Buy. You can sometimes find it on sale at Best Buy for $2,200. This is still $400 cheaper than that, and it has free delivery. Bstock.net in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. And Brad Nicholson and the gang over at Elite Automation, these guys have a very unique business. They save big-time money for folks with buildings like Bstock.net. They've done work at Bstock. They went in and they've reconfigured the paneling and they're, because it's a huge building. It's the old Toys R Us building. It's a huge building. And if Bstock can save thousands of dollars every month on their utilities, imagine what that does for their bottom line. It may be the same way with you. Whether it's a corporate office building, whether it's a machine shop or a garage or a warehouse facility, Elite Automation designs and installs intelligent building automation systems that will save you thousands off your utilities. Perfect for all kinds of office buildings, churches. For crying out loud, if you're involved in your church and your church wants to try to save money to do something better with this money, they'll even come in and not retrofit and sell you the panel. They'll just consult with your church for free on how to save money with your energy costs. And when the church saves money, Elite Automation gets a piece of that. This really is a unique company and you will save money. 913-766-2188. That's 766-2188 online at eliteautomate.com. Democrats are about to pass a $1.9 trillion stimulus package down our throat that has so much garbage in it that you and I don't want. I'm not going to ruin your Super Bowl week with it. I'm just not. But there's all kinds of stupid stuff in there that we don't want, including statehood for DC, amnesty for illegals, tear down the border wall because it kills animals. It's insane. The children are in charge. We're not a very serious country anymore. We're not. And we're opening ourselves up to being susceptible to something really bad, whether it's an economic or military or social takeover. We're open to that now. If these children in charge our chances of remaining as the world's only super economic and military superpower are zero. Are zero because they don't see those things as important. They forget history. And that at some point, at any time in human history, at some point, somebody tries to make you the victim of their conquest. And they've forgotten that. And they don't care about that. China's the biggest threat, but Russia's sitting right there too. Just ignoring it. Just flat out ignoring it. Because we're too worried about the reason they want to take the border wall down. Now they're saying it's for animals. Oh my God. Jeez, these people are unbelievable. So this thing is stuffed with all kinds of stuff you don't want. Mainly it includes power for Democrats, limiting conservatives in the GOP. I mentioned the statehood for DC, mail-in voting. I'm not sure DC statehood is constitutional. So the big key in all this thing is going to be Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia. Joe Manchin is a moderate, middle-of-the-road guy. He calls himself a Democrat, not sure why. West Virginia, I think, had the largest margin for Trump of any state in America 4 years ago, but somehow these moderates and some Democrats seem to hang on in West Virginia. Must go back to all the union workers. That's all I can think. Or union bosses in West Virginia. That's the only thing I can think because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't jive with what they are. But Joe Manchin is no far-left wacko. He's continuing to say, I want a bipartisan path to whatever we're doing. In other words, yes, I'm a Democrat. I count as one of the 50 Democrats here, but I'm not going to vote for something that is nothing but a bunch of far. He's already said, I'm not for DC statehood. I'm not for any of that stuff. Okay, I've got people that I'm beholden to back in West Virginia, and they don't like these things. And so I'm going to be middle of the road. This is what he says. Well, guess what's happening? I mean, this will not surprise you at all, but this is an underreported story. So what do you think? First of all, who's really in charge? The person really in charge is Barack Obama. The person effectively leading the charge is Kamala Harris. The figurehead is Joe Biden. That's the way I see it. Obama's calling the shots. Kamala Harris is implementing them. And Joe Biden is the figurehead. That's just the way I see it. You can disagree with it. That's fine. But this proves it. So, excuse me. Manchin is saying, I want bipartisanship. I'm not for some of these radical things. So what do you figure Obama's plan is? Let's send Kamala to West Virginia. Let's do a series of media interviews. Let's get her out there in front of all the people in West Virginia, and let's pitch this bill and have her say things like, your elected officials have a responsibility to everyone in West Virginia to pass this because we're elected, we're in charge, you've put them there for a reason, and they have a responsibility to do the right thing by the American people, and $1.9 trillion means money coming to you. We're sending $2,000 to everyone that lives in West Virginia, and call your representative right now and tell them to do this. The Democrats don't give a lick about the $2,000 to the people. They don't care about the little people. This has flipped in the last couple decades. The Republican Party is now about the working class, the littler people. Big corporate entities in Wall Street are beholden to the Democrats. It might have just been like a hostile takeover. The Democrats painted the Republicans as so closely affiliated with corporations and tax breaks and Wall Street. They did that for so long that what they did was they got the Republicans to move off that because it didn't look good. The imaging wasn't looking very good. And the Democrats just went right through the side door and took the whole thing over. They're good, man. They're really good at this. And they're really good at driving the stories, the narratives. They control it all. They control what everyone in America is talking about. That's what was so great about Trump, is when Trump was in there, he controlled what people were talking about because he was driving them crazy. And he knew how to throw red meat to his base and just put them into a frenzy. Well, now it's the opposite. They just control everything and every narrative. And so Kamala Harris goes to West Virginia and she's basically campaigning for the stimulus package, thinking that will ratchet up the power on Joe Manchin, their senator. Manchin is asked about it. He says, quote, I saw the interview and couldn't believe it that Kamala Harris went and did this. No one called me. That's not a very good way of working together, unquote, said Joe Manchin. So he's ticked off that Obama, Biden, and Harris circled back behind his back and tried to uproot him in his own state of West Virginia because they're worried this vote is going to be 50-49 or 51-49 because he votes with the Republicans, and then Kamala Harris's vote doesn't count as vice president and the person who president of the Senate. So they've got some infighting. I kind of like that part. I'm okay with that. Let them fight. Let them fight. The White House doesn't want any fights. They have been caught already asking reporters. Jen Psaki is the communications person that goes out there and fumbles her way through the news conferences. I call her Circle Back Jen because she says, I got to circle back to you on that. She gets asked questions and doesn't know the answer. Says, I got to circle back to you on that. I mean, this woman like knows nothing. It's remarkable. Can you imagine if Kayleigh McEnany had gone to the press and said, before I have my press briefings, I need to know what your questions are? Can you even imagine the firestorm of that story? Well, Jen Psaki did it, and some reporters have outed her and gone to the White House Correspondents Association and said, this is off limits. And they're on board with her. They love their policies. These are Democrats. These are far left liberal journalists that are saying, well, it's not really a free press if you know the questions that are coming. Or if you get to pick and choose, we have to submit what we want to ask. She gets to sit there and pick and choose who asks the questions. So these reporters are right. It is amazing. Within 2 weeks, the far left liberal reporters at the White House are already complaining that the Biden administration is overreaching as a government entity and trying to control speech and control everything. What, this is a shock to you? You work in the media and didn't know this was coming? This is impossible for you to not know. I love that they're taking a little heat over this, but really what we need is this for a stem winder. We need a Donnybrook, baby. We need a good Joe Biden press conference with just honest media. If we just had 25 people in the room that were honest, they wanted to ask important, timely, and difficult questions of the president, it would be fascinating to watch. We will never see it. We just will never see it. And we'll finish today with something that is not getting much attention as being racist, but it's very racist. It is the term Karen. There's a lot of different terms out there. There's Karens. There's Kevins. There's Chads. This is a way of mostly what it is. It's a way of categorizing, stereotyping, and nicknaming white people, and only white people. There is no such thing as a black Karen. There's not an Hispanic Karen. You've probably heard this term and don't know exactly what it is. Karen is a white woman with a complaint. It started with that lady in Central Park walking her dog, and he was off leash. And a black man came up to her and said, you know, the rules are put the leash on the dog, put your leash on that dog. And she made some sort of a comment, I don't know what, and then there was a tussle, and then she went on Twitter and said, he tried to choke my dog, and she looked really bad, really petty, and really stupid over this. She wasn't the first, that was really kind of where it started. I don't think Karen was coined that moment. Subsequent to that, there have been other things. A Karen is a mom who would go to the school board meeting and complain about the lunch. Okay, we know what this is. All right, we know this person. We all know this person. We've all met a Karen. They don't have anything better to do than complain about things that don't seem to really matter in the grand scheme of things. So that's what a Karen is. But you have to be white to be a Karen. So I think it's racist, and I think it's ridiculous that we allow things like this to happen in our country. We can just call, we can come up with names. What if we had, what would we call a black woman? Oh, we're going to have a Latasha. And just nickname them all. We'll categorize them all as the very same thing, whatever that stereotype is, of black women. Oh my God, could you imagine if we did that? But it's Karen, so we'll do it. It's okay. It's a white lady with a grievance, a complaint, which they laugh off because they largely think these are Republicans. Although, if you look in the suburbs and see the way the voting is gone, a lot of Karens are right there on the liberal team because they don't want to be known as Karens. They want black people to like them and know that they're not racist. So the most important thing in their world is don't think I'm racist. I'm going to go vote for a Democrat so you don't think I'm racist. That's a very weak-willed person that thinks like that. That doesn't have the confidence to say, I live my life every day and I treat other peoples in such a way that I know I'm not a racist. And I can vote for whoever I want and I don't care what people say about me. We need more of that. We just need more of that. But the Karens won't really do that. They think this is virtuous. They think that people will think better of them if they vote for Democrats. Well, a Karen last night got into it in Atlanta at the basketball game, the Hawks against the Lakers. And two women and two men were sitting courtside and just letting LeBron James have it. I mean, just letting him have it. He'd had enough. He went to the ref. They escorted him out. I haven't heard the audio about what it's about. I find it impossible to believe that it was strictly about basketball. LeBron James has made himself a figure that maybe the last thing you'd want to heckle him over is basketball. He's too good at basketball to heckle him about basketball. And he's made himself a social justice warrior and social media star with so many of the things that he's done. It is logical to believe that this woman could have possibly been conservative and was letting him have it over Black Lives Matter and all this other stuff. That's quite possible. She gets booted. The whole party leaves. All four of them leave. And LeBron is asked about it after the game. And he basically said, "Oh, courtside Karen?" That's what he tweeted after the game. "Yeah, I had a little incident tonight with courtside Karen." So it's okay for him to identify white. I mean, how much more particularly can you get? This isn't just white people. It's white women. We're going to pick on white women as a slice of America that we should stereotype and say all you white women do is run around and complain about stupid things that don't matter. Wow. That just seems incredibly racist to me. The term Karen. LeBron doesn't care. All right, we got a big week still ahead. We're going to have Trent Green on the podcast on Wednesday. I'm very much looking forward to that. Don't forget, if you would like to sign up for the Patreon podcast, Between the Lines 2.0 will be up there later on Tuesday afternoon with Danny Klinkskill. We'll cover a whole lot of ground right there. It's just $5 a month. If you want to hear the entire Patreon podcast every week, we do a series of them. Yesterday, I posted a couple of segments that I did on KCMO Talk Radio, put those up for patrons only. We do a newsletter, the Patrons Post, every single week. And usually two or three additional podcasts. So if you want more content, it's available for patrons. Go to kkhasissues.com. It's $5 a month. kkhasissues.com. And we'll keep pumping out that content. Always look forward to spending time with Danny Klinkskill. We put that one up every Tuesday for patrons only at kkhasissues.com. It's very easy to sign up. It's recurring payment. And the folks that are on there, the retention of the people that stay on there is very, very high. They enjoy the content. And we're busting out a Super Bowl special patrons post here this week that we'll be sending off in the next couple of days as well. So go sign up if you'd like to. The patrons post is available and all the podcasts, kkhasissues.com. Just hit the patrons button. And don't forget, wherever you're listening right now, or if you could tell your friends about the podcast, that would be awesome. We could really use the word of mouth help. I have stopped with Facebook and all the other boosting and stuff that I've done. I'm not giving them my money anymore. That's it. It's over. It's out. And so it's going to be word of mouth, and I could really use your help. Hit the follow or subscribe button wherever you listen. Whatever app you listen through, or if it's desktop or whatever, hit the follow or subscribe button. That really helps in a tremendous way. So thank you in advance for doing that. That's free. That doesn't cost you anything. But if you do want to join as a patron, just go to kkhasissues.com, click on that patron button. It's pretty easy. And if you do that today, it opens you up. There's probably 40 or more patrons podcasts on there. It opens you up to all of them. You can listen to all of them at that point. And we'll start getting you the newsletter via email. As you sign up, I get your email address. We send a mass email out every week to everybody that's signed up. And I'd love to have you on board as a patron. KKHasIssues.com.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit KKHasIssues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.